It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about the University of Minnesota residency program at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And we're going to find out about the 3M Hire a Hero campaign and see how that works. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
February 3rd, 1943, a United States Army transport, the SS Dorchester, tragically sank off the coast of Greenland. Witnesses of the event recounted the heroic actions of four chaplains of different faiths, whose heroic and selfless acts that day saved the lives of many men. The chaplains included Lieutenant George L. Fox, a Methodist, Lieutenant Alexander D. Good, of Jewish faith, Lieutenant John P. Washington, a Catholic, and Lieutenant Clark V. Poling, a Dutch Reformed minister. During the 18 minutes the transport was sinking, the four chaplains went sailor to sailor to calm fears and to hand out life jackets. When there were no more life jackets to hand out, the four chaplains removed their own life vests and gave them to the troops in need of protection. The four chaplains went down with the ship, arm in arm, in prayer. The chaplain's unique interfaith spirit and love for their fellow men is a lesson for all and amplifies the quality and dedication of the chaplain corps in the military.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the University of Minnesota residency program at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center is Dr. Najideh Erzhenfang. Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Doctor, I understand that you're originally from Turkey.
Indeed, I am. I am from Ankara, Turkey, which is Ankara is the capital of Turkey. And I did my medical school training originally in Ankara. Then I did my residency at Hacettepe University, which is the most prestigious university in Turkey. And I was doing my fellowship. Then I wrote to a physician at Minneapolis VA Medical Center to do some nutrition and diabetes research. So I came here in 1991 to do some diabetes research originally.
Did you intend to stay when you came over to do that?
I actually came in the middle of winter, and it was so bitterly cold that I said, I will never stay here, and I will never stay here more than a month. And that was 26 years ago.
And you forgot to go home.
Appears to be. Of course, in order to be able to practice here, I had to repeat all my training. So I repeated my internal medicine residency, as well as the endocrinology diabetes fellowship at the University of Minnesota. After that, I became a chief resident at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and has been a practicing physician at the Minneapolis VA for about 18 years.
Now, Doctor, I understand the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Medical Center have worked very closely for a long time.
Indeed, a very, very long time. Actually, history of this is quite interesting. The whole effort of affiliating the VAs with the university was spearheaded by a veteran, an orthopedic surgeon from St. Paul, Dr. Paul Magnusson. And the first VA that was affiliated was Heinz VA with Northwestern University. And subsequently, Minneapolis VA got affiliated with University of Minnesota because Dr. Magnusson was from Minnesota. And that was right after World War II in 1946. President Truman signed the affiliation. And the idea was that putting trainees, especially residents, fellows, but all levels of trainees at the VAs was going to increase the quality of care delivered to veterans. And since then, of course, medical school sizes increased and more medical students and other levels of trainees started to come to Minneapolis VA Medical Center. So much so that, for example, at the last academic year, we had approximately 400 medical students, 600 residents and fellows, and 600 other allied medical students and trainees rotate through Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. I think, I don't know whether all your audience is familiar with this, but Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center is one of the largest training centers in the state and certainly one of the largest in the country.
We're speaking with Dr. Najideh Ergunfang on Minnesota Military Radio, and she is an endocrinologist out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And doctor, you said when the training started and the university sent people out to the VA, it helped give better care to the veterans. But I imagine the other side of that is that those trainees, when they went out to the veterans, there was a lot of veterans and a lot of patients there, and they got a lot of experience pretty quickly too, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. I think it goes both ways. Both veterans benefit and the trainees benefit substantially from this interaction and education. Veterans really love working with trainees. You know, I have been, as I said, practicing almost 20 years, and there have been only a few instances where a veteran would refuse to work with a trainee. So they really appreciate students' contributions. And certainly trainees appreciate working with veterans a lot. Veterans usually see them as their student doctors. So there is usually a very nice connection between the veteran and the medical student. And they get to learn the veteran. Sometimes they get to learn their family, and they get to learn their history, which wars they were, what were their medical history, as well as military history. So there is a very close bond that forms between trainees and the veterans. And I think it benefits both.
So there's a bit of a difference in the training that they might get at the University of Minnesota than what they might get when they go out to the VA, because the patients are a little bit different.
Absolutely. Patient population is different. I think veteran population is unique. I can't imagine a population that is worth serving more than the veteran population. But of course, they have unique healthcare needs. For example, VA doctors and physicians excel in providing geriatrics care. We have a lot of experience in that. We excel in providing care for traumatic brain injury, for example, or certain mental health disorders. These are not unique to veterans, but perhaps it is important for trainees and veteran and staff physicians to understand how mental health disorders, traumatic brain injury, or geriatric disorders, these are not unique to veterans, but they might be more common in veterans. And it's very important for trainees to learn and understand how to help veterans with these disorders, because they will be the people, physicians, that will be providing care in the future.
Now, the medical students from the University of Minnesota, do they take their initial training at the University of Minnesota? Do they have some experience before they come over to the university?
That's an excellent question. So we have trainees at every level of medical school come to Minneapolis VA Medical Center. The first ones that come are only first-year medical students. So they do not know how to take history and physical. So they are very closely supervised. Whenever they talk with the patients, there is attending physician that go into the room with them. But they come back again in their second year, in their third year, in their fourth year. So as the years progress, they get more experience and they're better trained to talk and treat veterans.
So then they split their time between the University of Minnesota and the VA Medical Center?
They absolutely do. They do. But there are some students who spend majority of their time at the VA. For example, we have a new program, the first in the VA in the nation. It's called VALUE program and stands for VA Longitudinal Undergraduate Medical Education. This is where 10 to 12 medical students from the University of Minnesota come and spend an almost whole year with us in their third year of training. So this is a unique longitudinal experience where they have a panel of patients that they follow across different care venues. So they have the opportunity to follow 15, 20, 30 patients for almost a year. So they form a close bond with not only the patients, but with the preceptors, the faculty, and the healthcare system.
And then as they see these veterans and these patients there, they've got a supervising doctor that they discuss what they've seen and experienced and try to figure out. That's another way to learn too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. every time. There is never a trainee at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system without a supervisor. So whenever they see these patients, they come out, they present to the attending physicians, discussion, further discussion occurs, and then they go back and talk with the patient and have more chance to interact with the patient.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When I come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the residency program with the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. We're speaking with Dr. Najideh Ergun-Fang on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking today about the University of Minnesota residency program at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center with Dr. Najideh Ergun-Fang, who is an endocrinologist there, has been working at the VA hospital for about 18 years with a focus on diabetes outcomes and adrenal diseases. And doctor, you're also in charge of this the training program, the residency program.
I am. So the internal medicine residency program director is at the University of Minnesota, and the residents who are enrolled in this program rotate at three sites. One is University of Minnesota Fairview Medical Center. The second one is Minneapolis VA, and the third one is Regents. So I'm responsible from the trainees, all trainees, that rotate at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And in addition to this, I'm responsible for third-year medical students who come to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and do a longitudinal clerkship. So they spend their entire year with us. I'm responsible from those as well.
So how many trainees are under your supervision at any one time?
A lot, maybe 50 plus at any one time. Yeah, there are a lot of trainees that rotate through Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
And you've got a good system out there because every trainee or group of trainees reports to a doctor. And as you say, when they interact with the patients, then they go back and report to the doctors, and then they discuss the findings, and then they come back in and they meet with the patients again. Is that how that works?
That is absolutely correct. So whenever a trainee interacts and sees a patient, they take the whole history and they do an initial physical exam, and they come back and discuss it with a group of other trainees as well as staff physicians. And they discuss the plan, the assessment, come up with a treatment plan, and they come back and talk with the patients.
So the students are really contributing to the patient care and taking the history, learning the problems, and helping resolve the patient's issues all at the same time.
Absolutely. They know their patients' histories very well. And sometimes they follow their patients across different care venues. For example, they know that patient, they've seen that patient in medicine, but the patient needs some surgery. So they go with the patient to when the patient sees the surgeon. So this is very helpful because the student already knows the entire history, so knows some of the socioeconomic factors that might play a role in patient's illness as well. So they do a comprehensive presentation to the consultant, the surgeon. And so this really helps the consultant to get to know the patient and do a more accurate diagnosis and treatment. So they contribute meaningfully to patient care.
And I would guess your third-year students that spend a lot of time out there can follow a patient that comes in, has some kind of problem, has the surgery, has maybe some therapy, and is discharged, and they're there long enough to see that entire pattern unfold with that patient. And in doing so, they learn. It's pretty unique. They learn a lot, don't they?
This is very unique to the VA. This is the first VA in the country that tries this longitudinal program. Indeed, they have a panel of patients. They know their patients' history. They've met them. They've met their families. Indeed, if the patient, for example, comes to the emergency room, the student is paged by the ER nurses. So the student goes to the emergency room to meet their patient right away. And from there on, if they need admission, if they need surgery, if they need whatever, the students have a chance to follow and help the patient throughout their hospital course. And after the discharge, they are able to coordinate the patient's care. And they advocate for the patient and present a more comprehensive picture to the consultants.
So, doctor, the picture you're painting for me is that the students get pretty close to some of these patients. And, of course, out at a hospital with a lot of patients, you have some successes. You have some patients that maybe they weren't able to fix the things they were. And I know that occasionally we lose some patients. How do you deal with the emotions of being in the medical profession and going through all of those types of results?
Well, that's an excellent question. It is not very easy. It certainly has an emotional toll. It takes a toll on you. But we get trained on well-being, for example. VA has a program that trains both the doctors and the trainees about how to take care of themselves for their emotional well-being. So we always keep that in the back of our minds when we interact with trainees and patients.
So you help them talk through that and figure out how to deal with their emotions and how to accept the fact that that's part of the medical care business.
Absolutely. It's part of who we are and what we do, and we have to learn this, and this is part of training.
We're speaking with Dr. Najideh Ergenfang from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, doctor, I know that you're an endocrinologist, and your research was focused on diabetes outcomes and adrenal diseases. Do you get to work with some of these trainees in that specialty as well as from the standpoint of supervising all these trainees?
Oh, absolutely. One of the reasons that I stayed at the VA versus another hospital is to be able to work with the trainees. I love the veterans population. Certainly that's the most important reason. But if the VA didn't have trainees, I wouldn't have stayed there. So in my research, I certainly involve trainees. And they could be medical students, fellows, endocrinology fellows. We decide on a project and we design a study, and they go and gather the data, put the data together. We analyze it, look at the outcomes, and I help them to present it and publish it. So that's the whole process. That's part of their learning, because they need to learn how to be scholarly. That's part of our mission, and that's how they learn it.
Doctor, it would seem that when part of your research focused on diabetes outcomes, you've had a lot of patients with my buddies from Vietnam that have come back and had some diabetes issues as a result of Agent Orange. So you've had a lot of patients to study, and I would guess you've learned quite a few things over the last 18 years.
We certainly did. VA has a substantial patient population with diabetes. A number of them had Agent Orange exposure. My research never focused on the Agent Orange exposure. However, we did study outcomes of certain medications in patients with diabetes. We also researched some of the outcomes of obesity treatments in these patient population. So we did learn a lot about how medications work and whether they are effective in this population.
And, of course, the VA has a program called the Million Man Program, where you contribute a lot of the information that you gather from all the veterans and a lot of the things that you've learned from the veterans to help the rest of society. So it really is an educational event while you're taking care of our veterans, isn't it?
Absolutely. Education is one of the most important missions of the VA, you know, we educate locally and contribute to education nationally.
So what kind of feedback do you get from the students and the veterans about the training programs?
Students absolutely love working with veterans. They really get to know them closely. They really enjoy learning their whole history, you know, their war history. Veterans really like talking to the students. So it has been a very mutually beneficial relationship. And I think veterans really like working with trainees too. In my, 26 years at the VA, I can only remember a few patients, less than 10 for sure, who really didn't want to work with a trainee. So by and large, overwhelming majority of veterans enjoy working with trainees, and they see them as their student doctors. I get several cards, letters from patients and their families praising the care that the trainees give them.
And one of the advantages there is the trainees get to spend a little more time with the veterans than a doctor would be able to on his rounds. Isn't that true?
That is absolutely true. Trainees have more time. They have more time to look up things. They have more time to discuss things. They have more time to sort of translate the consultant's or the doctor's recommendation to the patients. They have more time to dig into the chart, to find out more information. So I think having a trainee contributes substantially to the efficiency of process, to the thoroughness and the excellence of care provided at the VA Medical Center.
Doctor, we're just about out of time, but one last question. When these students graduate, do a lot of them come back to the VA?
Yes, they do. They do. You know, the value program that I mentioned, you know, two of the students as a career goal, they said they want to come back to the VA and want to be a value preceptor. So I see a lot of my trainees that went through this program come and work at the VA as staff physicians, which is huge asset to be able to recruit this high talent to the VA.
Doctor, you sound like you love your job out at the VA, and I think I'm glad you didn't go back to Turkey because you're taking really good care of our veterans out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Thank you for that, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
That was Dr. Najideh Erguvang from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn about the 3M Hire a Hero program. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the 3M's Hire a Hero campaign. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor our African-American veterans, those serving today, and those who have served throughout history. African Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of every race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contributions African Americans have made to our state and country.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, in this segment, we're going to learn about the 3M Hire Our Heroes campaign. And joining me today in the studio is Tim McElroy, who's a senior advisor on the 3M Military Support Network. Tim, welcome back to the studio and the show. You haven't been on for a few years now.
That's right, Tom. It's good to be back.
Well, we got you locked in the studio, so we're going to talk to you a bit today. But first, we want to focus on the 3M Hire Our Heroes campaign. And you've got another 3Mer that's calling in to talk about that. Do you want to introduce him?
We do, Tom, for sure. I have with us today Dale Ross, who is our marketing manager in collision repair. And he is the brainchild of a phenomenal program that helps our service members and their families in the collision repair industry. So, Dale, welcome.
Dale, welcome to the show.
Yes, sorry I couldn't be there live, but great to call in and talk with you.
Well, we're good chance for us to talk with you. I hope we didn't pull you away from anything too important, but we want to focus the next 10 minutes or so on this program called 3M Hire Our Heroes. And Tim says that that was your brain. You were the brainchild of that thing. You started it. Can you tell us what it is?
Yes, well, it's certainly a collaboration of several of us at 3M, but it's a program that that provides scholarships and tool grants for our military veterans and their immediate family members that are interested in getting into training for collision repair through accredited vocational skills training programs. Our division, the Automotive Aftermarket Division, sells into the collision repair market, so we sell everything that if your car is in as an accident, everything that's used to get that back to pre-accident condition except the paint. So it made sense that we're trying to get more people into our industry.
So what really prompted you to think about our service members and a program like this?
Well, in 2013, a lot of our soldiers were returning back into the workforce and trying to get into the workforce, and we saw unemployment rates that were twice that of civilians. So again, we knew that our collision repair shops were in need of skilled technicians. There just weren't enough of skilled technicians entering our trade. And we think that it's a great industry and thought it would be a great place for veterans to be able to use the skills that they learned and start a career in collision repair, where a lot of veterans like to work with their hands. They like to solve problems, and that's certainly what a technician in collision repair does. So we saw a good match between the need on the veteran side for careers and the need on our industry side for good people and good employees.
So does your program actually find a way to reach out to the veterans and then talk to your customers to see who needs to hire?
Yes. So our message of Hire Our Heroes is aimed at the owners of these collision repair shops, and we have ways to get them to participate and become aware of this need. Our role really is to provide the training and the resources, again, tools for the veterans to be able to get a head start. To get into collision repair, if you're employed in a shop, the shop doesn't provide the tools. They expect you to have the tools and come with the tools. So a veteran or anyone needs thousands of dollars worth of tools to get started. So being able to provide those gives them kind of a leg up and a good head start on a career.
So when you came up with this project or this idea, then you had to look for some funds as well?
Yes. So the first few years, we made donations based on product sales. And so far, since 2013, we've raised or donated $750,000 to this campaign. Now we have a way where we're getting more of our collision shop owners and managers involved in it.
So those funds came from 3M or the 3M Foundation?
$500,000 of it came from 3M, and now we're getting people in our industry to donate. And then we're rewarding them in a pretty substantial way.
That's a pretty nice check from 3M to start that that effort. And you've been at this now for about 3 years, is that right?
This is the fifth year, actually. 2017 is starting the fifth year of the campaign.
So is it gaining some traction and some momentum?
Yes, and again, we're doing it a little differently now. So we've developed a calendar with patriotic-themed photos and quotes, and when a collision shop owner donates $200 to this campaign, it's funded through the Collision Repair Education Foundation, they receive this calendar, and then that calendar contains monthly specials so that if they take advantage of them buying 3M products and taking advantage of these specials, they can save up to $1,700 in savings for products that they already use in their business. So it's really a win-win. It's a win for the customer, it's a win for the campaign, and then, of course, for the veterans.
We're speaking with Dale Ross on the 3M Hire Our Heroes campaign on Minnesota Military Radio. Dale, if any of our listeners are veterans and they want to get into this industry, how do they go about participating in your program?
There's two ways. One is the collision. Go to collisioneducationfoundation.org, and right on the front page you'll learn about Hire Our Heroes and how to apply for the scholarships or tool grants. Or to just learn more about the program, you can go to 3mcollision.com/hire, and that contains information about the program as well as a link to donate. And of course, you don't have to be in the collision repair industry to donate. We'd love to have more donations come from the general public on that, because it's a good cause. It's helping put veterans to work and getting them the skills and the tools that they need.
Dale, how many veterans or service member families do you think you've impacted with your program so far?
210 so far. So now in the fifth year, we're just accepting applications now, and in May is when the applications or the scholarships and tool grants are granted.
So for anyone that's interested, they put in a request, and then is that once a year you approve some grants for scholarship and or tools?
Yes, exactly. and that's through our partner, the Collision Repair Education Foundation.
And for this year, what's the deadline for getting in an application?
It's the beginning of April.
April, and can you give us those two websites once again, please?
Yes, collisioneducationfoundation.org or 3mcollision.com/hire.
Dale, it looks to me like that was a pretty good idea that you and your friends came up with. You've already impacted 210 families, and you've raised a lot of money, and you've got the program cooking. Great work on your part, and fun to have 3M support that in such a big way.
Thank you. I'll tell you, when we receive letters and calls from some of the veterans that have been impacted by this, it really warms your heart and makes you want to continue year after year doing more, and that's exactly what's happened. They're very appreciative, and we love doing it. It's the least we can do.
Dale, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That was Dale Ross, who oversees the 3M Hire Our Heroes campaign. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the 3M Military Support Network with Tim McElroy. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And today's show, we've been talking about the 3M Hire Our Heroes campaign. And we just had a nice chat with Dale Ross. And in the studio today, as I announced earlier, we have Tim McElroy, who's a senior advisor on the 3M Military Support Network. And Tim, what a program. It's benefited 210 veteran families.
It's pretty spectacular, isn't it, Tom? I think, you know, what's really important is they knew that we had a targeted audience who really needed some help with their employment, and they went after it. And the impact that they have now is spread throughout many, many communities.
Well, I hope that program just continues to grow and get bigger and bigger. And with Dale Ross, who is the U.S. Marketing Operations Manager for the Automotive Aftermarket Division of 3M, he's, of course, all of his customers are the people we're talking about that are trying to find good employees. And veterans make great employees, especially if they can get a little training and get a little tool money.
In particular, probably the Air Force veteran, don't you think?
Well, we're a purple show, Tim.
Oh, right? That's right.
We have to take care of all the veterans. Now, tell me, give me an update, 3M Military Support Network.
Well, you know, Tom, we're going on our eighth year now of having this employee resource network that has complete focus on our service members and our service families. And what's really special about it is we've really morphed throughout the years. When we first started back in 2009, there were a lot of deployments. There were people who had spouses who were always gone. They needed help at home. They didn't really have an outreach that they could go to. You know, it's great that we have the guard units here in Minnesota, but some of these people had family members who were active duty and were not, you know, co-located with them. So our focus back then was really on providing the support for those families that were left here in Minnesota. So it could have been anything from just networking with other people and wanting to get some help with things around the house, whatever it might be. So that was really our focus when we first started the Military Support Network. And as we've progressed now, what we've really tried to do is now focus on not only providing that support and the outreach that we've done in the past, but really helping with recurring professional development for our veterans and focusing on hiring them into 3M, and then also focusing on the current 3M veteran that we have here and what we can do to impact their lives and their career progression at 3M.
Tim, I know there's several organizations that you help to do their events each year, too. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I can. I mean, one of our biggest events that we help to sponsor is the Minnesota Military Family Foundation golf event every year. For a while there, we were able to actually sponsor that at the golf course at Tartan Park, and now we're continuing as a host sponsor at Bunker Hills. I think that's our biggest event, and I think it really bodes for what 3M is trying to do. We want to be active in the communities with the families, those people that we want to associate with and focus on the help that we can. And that foundation definitely fits the Military Support Networks.
Well, and as you know, I know a little something about that one since I run that that event, and 3M's been a great partner in there for every year since the first year. We've done that for 7 years. It's the 8th annual MMFF, Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic coming up, and 3M's a big part of that again. And Tim, thanks to you, and please tell all of the folks back at 3M that we really value their support.
Well, it's our pleasure, Tom. Like I said, it's fun to be able to connect with the community and important to help our veterans and their families as they may need so.
And you've got a couple other events you support each year, right?
We do, yep.
Tell us about them, Tim. Come on, let's go.
Well, I mean, some of the other things that we like to do throughout the year is we have internal events. We do a Veterans Day stand down where we actually welcome all of the 3M veterans, have them, you know, talk about their service. And another really important thing that we do is our Memorial Day event where we actually honor those who have gone before us, who have served our country. And we have a beautiful flag planting ceremony right out in front of the 3M headquarters.
So the military support network within 3M is as strong as ever?
Absolutely. We're 350 plus strong and growing every day.
And you've had great support from the top, and they've done wonderful things for not just the 3Mers who happen to be members of the Reserve or the Guard, but for a lot of organizations outside. So a big thank you and a big salute to 3M for supporting our veterans.
Our pleasure, Tom.
And Tim, good to see you in the studio. We'll decide whether or not we let you out a little later today. But I know you got to get back to work. But thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
You're very welcome, Tom.
That was Tim McElroy, a senior advisor with the 3M Military Support Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Jason Marquardt, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Jason, I understand we want to talk about something today called the SSAP, which I believe is the State Soldiers Assistance Program.
That's correct. It's a program that is actually administered through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, but your county veteran service officers have all the information for this program, and the program actually has many different parts to it.
So if any of our listeners want to participate in the State Soldier Assistance Program, they actually have to go to the county their county veteran service officer or any county veteran service officer, and you've got all the information to help them with that.
That's correct, because the county veteran service officer actually has to recommend approval for the person to utilize these services.
Okay, can you tell us what the program is and how a veteran would apply for it?
Well, they have a couple different programs, Tom. They have an optical program, they have a dental program, special needs grant, and then they also have a program called subsistence where you can actually get extended help because of disabilities or medical issues. The optical and dental, veterans and their spouses can utilize every year as long as they meet the income guidelines. And the special needs grant is a once-in-a-lifetime use, and that can be used from anything like paying your house, mortgage, your rent, utilities. When a veteran falls on hard times, that's the program we use to help them get up onto their feet and keep going, keep marching forward.
So if a veteran gets into a bind and really needs some help from a financial standpoint, they can apply for some cash assistance in the form of a grant?
Yep, that is correct.
And they do that through their county veteran service officer. And can you walk us through how that would work quickly?
Well, real quick, you would come in and see your county veteran service officer bringing along documents like bank statements. If you want your mortgage paid, you copy your mortgage, your lease, just any kind of documentation showing that is your bill. And we can get it and write it up so the grant hopefully goes through in your favor. Even something like car payments, if you fall behind in car payments, it can help that. So a copy of your car payment, a plan of action on how you're not going to fall into this are all ways that we assist you in getting it done.
So like we say every month, if for anything veteran, if a veteran needs some help with filing a claim, if you get into some financial bind and you might need a grant from the State Soldiers Assistance Program, If there's other issues that might involve other resources, your county veteran service officer is trained to know where they are and can help the veteran apply for that type of help.
That's correct. Always come see us first.
Yeah, and we've always say, Jason, that if you haven't met your county veteran service officer, go get your discharge certificate. Go up and see him. Get it on file. If you can't find your discharge certificate, your county veteran service officer can probably help you with that. You may not need any help right now, but you or your family may need some help in the future. So go visit your county veteran service officer.
That is right.
All right, Jason, appreciate your calling in today, and take good care of all of our veterans down in Fillmore County.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for letting me be on again.
Thank you. That was Jason Marquardt, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We've got a couple of mentions today. First, the annual Holes for Heroes is coming up fast. There's space available for both the Plymouth event on February 4th and the White Bear Lake event on February 11th. Holes for Heroes is a special ice fishing contest designed to honor our military and allows all military members, both current and former, and their immediate families to attend Holes for Heroes at no charge. For more information and to sign up now, go to fishingforlife.org. And one other announcement, Toys for Military Kids, who we have on every year, just put a ribbon on its 15th year of providing gifts to our children of the military men and women. Thanks to your generosity, over 2,000 toys were distributed to 41 units and 43 families in 5 states. For more information, go to vesechapter.org and click on Get Involved. That's Toys for Military Kids. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Erkin Fang, Dale Ross, Tim McElroy, Jason Marquardt, Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the upcoming Norwegian Exchange at Camp Ripley and this year's Veterans Day on the Hill. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.